Yes, Lord, we thank you, Father, we thank you for your wonderful Son, which you have given to us. Thank you for this portion of the saints to which you have made us qualified. You are the head over all things. Bring us under your headship. Yes, this is wonderful. What we hear in these days, we cannot in a fullness share about this epistle. It was really a fast train. But let us be impressed by the Lord. It begins by the Lord opening our eyes. We need to see this Christ in order for us to have an impression in our life. Lord Jesus, open us the eyes. The Lord needs our cooperation, but it starts by us directing towards Him. Our direction is so important. Don't focus on earthen things, but that we rather would seek those things which are above. Our life is hidden with Christ in God. All these wonderful truths which we have heard, which we read, we need such a handling with His Word. Therefore, it said in chapter 3, verse 16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. The Word of Christ. It's not only the quotations of the words of Jesus in the Gospel. No, the Word of Christ includes the whole Scripture. From the very beginning of the Scriptures, Christ had been revealed. Paul mentioned that very clearly. From the very beginning on, he realized, oh, that is Christ. This rock in the desert, which Moses hit at that time, that is actually Christ who has been hit on the cross, that water would pour out. If you read the Scriptures with Christ, it is an open book. Then we don't find only commandments, but it shows us so much, which shows us Christ, and this really changes our life. Yes, there's always a responsibility when the Lord is showing us something. Today, we don't need to hit the Lord again if we are thirsty, if we are lacking of something, if we are thirsty, we don't have to hit Christ. He had been hit 2,000 years ago, and even far before the foundation of the world. That's really a mystery. You still have to speak to Him. Right? Moses, at the second time, should only have spoken to that rock. And then this rock would have given water. What do you have to do today? Speak to this rock. This rock is not somewhere in the desert of Sinai. What does Paul write here? This rock is following you, right? Tomorrow, in the bus, in the tramway, in the car, into the work. This rock follows you, and you always can speak to Him. Not only calling on His name, It's not a technique that we call upon his name is not a technique. It's really a relationship. We restore that relationship when it was interrupted. And we experience that he is rich for all who call upon him. I heard that again and again in the groups and the denominations. They speak to Jesus. They pray to Jesus. Jesus, help me here. Jesus, help me there. And you're so wonderful. But it's a difference if I say to the Lord, Lord Jesus. That means I have accepted him as my head. And this is the basis for this morning's fellowship. In Colossians, we see that Christ, who has been given us by God as head over all things. We see in this Colossians that everything was even created in him, through him, and towards him, right? He is the means by which he did everything. Even when God created everything, he did it through Christ. When God does something today, he does it through Christ. Even in the new creation, he's the first of all things. He is the first of the firstborn of the new creation and the firstborn from the dead. He is everything. Everything is bound together. Everything is tight together. This world still exists because Christ keeps everything in his hands. If you think of the governing authorities, you think everybody is only selfish, and there's obvious countries where it seems to see so clear that those who are reigning just fill their own pockets. But think about what kind of people are elected into the governing authorities. My goodness. Mankind is in corruption. This is the old creation. Don't be disillusionated anymore. When mankind is ruining the planet and others want to save this planet, but it's the same fallen mankind. Whoever can save this planet, this creation, these creatures, only Christ. But he still can hold together this planet. It has been protected until a certain point. And this is very important to see our wonderful stand. We can be a testimony for the living God. We have put ourselves very consciously under his authority. We don't live like everybody else, just following any fashion. We are not egocentric. We have read it again and again. how these people are will be in the last days in Timothy, right? But then there was a point in my life where God, or when God has transferred me from the authorities of darkness into this, his kingdom of the Son of his love. And I am still here to discover more of this rich kingdom. And even through this conference, he gives us more impression and more joy. This expression we had here in Colossians 1, that he conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. This is a mystery. When the Lord came on this earth, the Father said, "This is my beloved Son." And even later, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him only." This ministry of the prophets today is not anymore like in the Old Testament. Elijah was very important. Don't swipe him away. No, but follow Jesus. We follow the Lord. When you read about Elijah, or if you read Moses, the Pentateuch, you will discover Christ. If you read in the Old Testament, you will find Christ. And the problem today, often, there is this veil on the hearts. This frustrates us from turning ourselves towards him. Sometimes we read in the Old Testament and we want to live our religious way of life, tradition, but are you ready to accept me to this Christ? Although they knew who he was. Yes, we know a lot too. And now here we have a headline, Christ.
Von diesem herrlichen, wunderbaren Christus auf dem Berg, den wir gesehen haben. Und es ist immer wieder angeklungen, auch während der
holding the head. Es hat sehr viel mit unserem Christ in the walk and work of the believers. That's the heading of today. This Christ, this wonderful Christ, has a lot to do with our practical walk. What Paul writes here is so important. I come back to a verse before saying, verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. All in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whatever you do. Sometimes we do with our hands. Probably sometimes we don't do a lot with our hands, but sometimes we do it with our words. With words you do a lot. We have fellowship, we speak about Christ, do everything in the name of the Lord, but out of your mouth, sometimes there is criticism. Or as our sister read this morning, don't be somebody who is speaking against others, right? Sometimes if you speak something out, you cannot catch it back. It's gone. It's over.
Yeah. Was ihr tut, mit Worten oder mit Werken. Alles im Namen des Herrn Jesus.
Slander, even sometimes we slander, we talk negatively. Our whole life should be conducted in the name of the Lord Jesus. Giving thanks to God the Father through Him. It's not a struggling inwardly, everything I have to do in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I am now going shopping. In the name of Jesus, I do my kitchen. In the name of Jesus, I go for my work. It's not a formal way, brothers, but I am a messenger of the Lord. I am a member of His body. I am a disciple. Whatever I do, be conscious about that. We don't do the things for men. Then it continues in verse 18, wives, submit to your own husbands. That is not that simple. This is something which is against our natural human being. I don't say that because I am a husband or because I am a male. No, I myself have to submit myself again. Look in Ephesians 5, right? Verse 23.
Also, da wird's noch mal erklärt. Da steht noch was drüber. Denn der Mann ist das Haupt der
Frau. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church. And he is a savior of the body, the redeemer of the body. Another,
dass Christus das Haupt des Mannes ist.
Another portion, it says Christ is the head of a husband. The husbands also have a very big responsibility towards the Lord. Don't see it technically. It is always a matter of relationship. It is an order out of life. It doesn't mean that women are less worthy or of less value. What do we read in Galatians? In the new man, there is no man or woman. There is no difference in the value. But there is a difference in the order. Also with the children. Husbands, loves your wives. Why does he have to say that to me? He doesn't say, husbands, subdue your wives. No. Husbands, love your wives. How do you make your wife listening to her? If you love her, if you understand her, if there is a relationship.
Lesen wir auch im, ganz besonders im Epheserbrief.
Even in the Ephesians we read that. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her.
Er hat sich hingegeben.
He gave himself
um uns zu gewinnen.
To gain us,
so
that we, out of love, would consecrate ourselves and subdue ourselves to Him. Oh Lord, You are my Lord. I accept Your order. How do the lot of problems come in the world? Because nobody follows the divine order. There are orders. It begins with the whole universe.
Nach denen man die Uhr stellen kann, beziehungsweise nach denen man sich orientieren kann. Das ist eine Ordnung, die immer wiederkehrt.
There's an order coming back. Look, day and night. That's a universal order.
Sommer, Winter.
Summer, Winter.
Norden, Süden,
North, South, East, West.
Ordnungen.
These are orders in the creation.
Und bringst du das durcheinander?
And if you start to
so wie heute, ja,
mingle that,
bei vielen,
what's up then? What about the family? No value anymore.
Kinder müssen ihren eigenen Weg gehen, möglichst früh.
Children have to go in their own way.
Their own 14 bestimmen, was für ein Geschlecht sie haben wollen.
Even with 14 years old, they can decide what sex they have.
Wo sind wir gelandet?
Where have we ended? Think about that.
Herr Jesus Christus,
Lord Jesus.
But
we
befinden uns gerne in Gottes Ordnung.
We love persisting in God's order. I have been transferred into the reigning realm of Christ. There, God is reigning. Amen. And there are also orders which are the best for us. Lord Jesus. Here we read, children,
it's not always easy. And manches muss man den Kindern erklären.
Obey your parents in all things. This is not so simple, right? Sometimes the children have questions. Why this? Why this? Yes, the children have their questions. So explain it to them.
Aber es ist gut,
it is good to have, after such a time where we have seen the Lord, to realize it is the best for me.
Wenn dein Computer morgen kaputt geht,
if your computer is
bezahlt dir einen neuen.
Crashed tomorrow, who pays the next to you?
Sonst hast du immer was, möchtest immer alle aus dieser Ordnung
gar
nicht, du siehst es manchmal nicht ein, aber
you don't accept being obedient, but
wer gibt für dich
realize who gives everything for you? Who does everything for you? Who rescues when you have struggled somewhere? You go to dad and mom. Appreciate that. This is so precious. There is nothing more precious, apart from the Lord, than our family. This relationship that we know this order. Not everybody has a family, and not everybody needs a family, and you don't have to have wife and children. Sometimes Paul says, well, it's even better to stay without wife, then I can even serve the Lord. When I am married, then I have to ... and I even have to please my wife. Then I have to take care of worldly things. I have to earn money, have to construct and knit. But it's so good. There is an order. Wonderful. There is an order that's also in the church.
In
Colossians, there was the situation was a different type of society. There were these bond slaves and masters. Today, we have employees and employers. And when we are believers, what is said here? We don't serve those masters alone according to the flesh. Bondservants, verse 22, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service. I don't do it just for my master, that he has a good image of me, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God, because I serve the Lord. I work in sincerity of heart. This is a key for our professional life. I don't do it for me. I do it for the Lord. Then you will probably do things differently. You might do it more thoroughly, not because the master or the employer is looking at it, but our main master. And then the Lord gave you an impression, you should probably read through that again or clean up this corner again. We have a master in heaven. Praise the Lord, and we serve him. That is the example of Joseph is very good. He was sold from his brothers to Egypt. What did he do there? He serves. What do we do in the church life? We serve. We are no masters. We belong to the Lord and we serve him. I want to use an expression from Genesis 49. There is a blessing of Jacob to his sons. To all his sons, he had a blessing. Some of these blessings, quoque, were not so positive. The most of them were positive. Others were quite expressive. But there's one you probably didn't realize. It's Issachar, one of those sons. Verse 14, Issachar is a strong donkey. Genesis 49, verse 14, strong donkey. Nobody wants to be a donkey, right? Lying down between two burdens. There's something to carry just in the middle of two burdens. What is his motivation? What are his motives? He saw that rest was good and that the land was pleasant. Have we seen something from our good land, from Christ? Have we seen something of this wonderful Christ? Have we seen how lovely this good land is? He saw that the rest was good and that the land was pleasant. He bowed his shoulder to bear a burden and became a band of slaves. Paul often expresses this by saying, Paul, a bond slave of Christ, he bowed his shoulder. He carried the saints, the work of Christ. Where there was a need, he wrote epistles, he prayed, and he served. Just like that. And in the church life, there are a lot of possibilities to consecrate ourselves to him. I don't want to be somebody to whom the others should look up. No, I want to be somebody who carries, right? You see, the land is good. You have seen it. The land is good. And then there is a decision. Lord, I want to give myself, my life to you. And this is very practical in the church life. You have time. There's something to carry. There's something to do. I'm encouraged by these young people handing the microphones, but so many other services in the church life, in the local churches, children's meeting. You don't have to be somebody, be a strong donkey. Use your hands. Ask Andreas and Helmut. Praise the Lord. It's good to visit saints, to host saints. It's a very important ministry, right? Where are we? And here, in the outline, point 8b, walking in wisdom towards those who are without. There is a within and there is a without. Being inside is wonderful. We're in the middle of the work of the Lord, of the kingdom of the Lord. We enjoy the church life. We have fellowship. We have a lot of fellowship. I hope so. In all the churches. There is also are some who are outside. Don't forget them. Who are outside, right? Who are without. From the very beginning, there was this burden of the church that the word would not remain with us, but that it would spread without. There is this responsibility we have, Lord Jesus. Therefore, we need to redeem the time. That's Colossians 4, verse 5, right? Amen. Lord Jesus, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside. It starts with our walk. You remember Philippians chapter 1, where Paul says, that's in 27, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. We should conduct such a life that whatever, wherever we are, we can testify about what the Lord has committed to us and promised to us. Walk in wisdom. You might think that wisdom is something about intelligence, about smart, being smart, but why wisdom is knowing the Lord. The Lord himself is the wisdom. In him, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are there. This wisdom is not just lying on the floor. No, we have a wisdom which the world does not know. Our young people, you are wise when you know Christ. There are a lot of older ones who don't know Christ and who are really foolish. We have received a wisdom from the Lord, and we grow in that. And this wisdom also has something to do with our order of God. When you realize this wisdom, how he has done everything in his order, this is wonderful. Then you have to give and to show something to the world. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. We have time, but we have to redeem it. We have it. When I went to school and then step by step modern aspects came into the world, there was this idea that people don't have to do anything anymore because the robots are doing everything, or the human people are doing only very few. Yeah. You think, when I was small, you think, well, the wife has a washing machine. She doesn't need to wash everything by hand anymore. Today, you just put it into the everything laundry into the washing machine, and then, but still you have a lot to do, right? It's nothing that the technique is just doing everything for you. Today, people, we have a lot of burnout because we are overloaded with work. Though everything is so perfect, so comfortable and automatic, even the people are rushing around. When they have time, they just flee away. They fly to the Maldives, to the Caribbeans. Or they disappear in a computer game. And life is just passing along, and they just live in a so-called second world. And you can sit days and hours before it. Hopefully somebody is just taking out the plug. If mom and dad would say, hey, now it's enough, then be thankful that there is somebody who is taking care of you, right? This is very good for you. Some don't have that. Sometimes parents are even happy that the children are before the computer and just are happy that they can do whatever they want. I have seen everything in my long life. We need such a time to give to the Lord. Have fellowship with the Lord. You can use your time. You can redeem your time, even between two different attitudes or activities, right? Use the time. That's another word for redeeming it here. If I have nothing on my to-do list, or if I have to do some things which is simple to do, use the time and pray. Praying is not a command. Now you have to pray, and I need my closed room and everything like that. It's good to have it, but the day is long. And again, you have the possibility to turn to this Lord and to redeem the time. You go somewhere with your car, use the time at the steering and listen to something, listen to a meeting, listen to an audio Bible. We have the possibilities today to redeem the time. Amen. reading in the Word is a very important possibility. I used the time with the tramway. I just could read and read and read. Don't have this concept to only read a small portion. No, use the time to read even 2, 3, 4 chapters. Some read books, novels. But how often have you read through the Bible? It's so important and so wonderful to take time with the Word. You see Christ. Don't waste the time. Now, knowing that the Lord will come back and all the outward signs are heading towards this end of this kingdom, of this earthen kingdom, what do we do? Let us read this verse. Matthew 24. Verse 49. Oh, Lord Jesus, amen. There, this servant is mentioned, which the master inaugurated for this housemate to share food. But in verse 48 it says, but if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming. Still time. This is a very, very dangerous thought. Ah, everything has time. There's still time. This is our problem, right? We think, oh yeah, I still have a lot of time. But have such an attitude. I'm waiting for you. I want to be ready when you are coming. Don't say, my master is delaying his coming. This is helping us to clarify things. There are problems who haven't been clarified. When you know that there is an end coming, you might think, I have to clarify everything before the end is coming. Reconcile with one another along the time when we are on our way together, that we can still reconcile together. Even if it's not your fault that there is something between you and another brother or another person, but there is something, let us cleanse this as if the Lord will come tomorrow. Because if the Lord comes tomorrow and this thing is not clarified, then we'll have a problem. This is a very important aspect. He has reconciled everything with us. And he wants us to, you remember this fight of Paul, this great conflict I have for you, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, that the church will really be built up together. Sometimes we are so righteous and right, so correct and so consequent, and something is being destroyed. The Lord has to touch our hearts again and again. It is always concerning knitting together in love. It is the building up of the church. But that's only a side aspect. But then going back to Matthew 24, what does this servant is doing, this evil servant, he begins to beat his fellow servants. Nobody told him to do that, and to eat and drink with the drunkards. He's doing party, beating his fellow servants. What is this? If you are fighting for your right, you're actually beating the others. You will hurt others. If I know that the Lord comes back tomorrow, I won't do that. The Lord has to save us. Lord Jesus, that we would love another and serve one another. And redeem the time. And it said here in Colossians, coming back to Colossians 4, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside. How I read it here, it is concerning the gospel. We can give something to those who are outside. In our neighborhood, they have their right to know what is it about with us. Let us walk in wisdom. We want to express the Lord. We want that the Lord has a testimony before those who are outside. Let your speech, then he says here, not only our life, our speech shall always be with grace. Grace. We have learned in the church life what grace is. We all should know it from the inward being. What is grace? Otherwise, there is a lack of our conduct. What is grace? That is God sharing himself towards us. When Jesus came, it is said he was full of grace and truth. Out of his fullness, we have all taken grace by grace. This is John 1, right? We take from his fullness grace, but here we are now at the point when we should also spread this grace. It is something positive. It's basically positive. It's not admonishing or encouraging. No, sharing grace is really to transport something from Christ in a positive way. And there is this other aspect here, which is seasoned with salt. You share something in grace, something positive with Christ. Probably you have a discussion with somebody or a talk. I just want to compare that with the Lord in John 4. He had to go through Samaria to meet that woman at Jacob's well. And it started with small talk. Can you give something to drink? I'm thirsty. And this woman says, well, she's a Samaritan. And a Jew, something wanting, and they start a conversation, and then he starts. If you knew who the one is with whom you are speaking, he would give living water to you. This is grace. You might have a conversation with a colleague. You start a small talk, and then you hand over something from Christ. in a positive way. Make him curious, right? The Lord didn't start with repent and bow down. No. He made her curious. If you knew who this one is, who is talking to you, if you knew the gift of God and who says to you, give me to drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Out of a sudden, she was interested. That's John 4, verse 10. And then the Lord answered and said, go and call your husband. And that showed the Lord didn't only have grace, but he also had some salt. If a soup is sort of not so tasty, you season with salt or pepper. There needs to be a seasoning. This is this Christ, who is without compromise, who is against bacteria. Salt has this attitude that it kills bacteria. We are salt of the world, right? We don't have it only, we are. In another portion, he says, have salt in yourself. Be salty. Something of this nature of the Lord. His nature is plenty of salt. Another exact example we see in the Leviticus is this meal offering, the humanity of Christ, this picture for the humanity of Christ, and he has been our meal offering, food for human and God. And in one point, it says, without honey, not our own way of doing contacts. Being nice, everything. Yes, sure, be positive. But there's always salt with it. Here we're talking about those without. Even more in the relationship among us, we have something to give to the people outside. They admire our conscience, our attitude towards the Lord. Sometimes somebody told me when nobody was around, I really admire you. Somebody else told me, I find fascinating that you can believe like that. There was only one small sentence. All the rest of the time you don't see anything anymore. We have an effect. We have a salt as an effect. We around us. When I was a teacher, there was some there was this one room for the male and for those who were smoking, and it was quite more quiet. And sometimes there was somebody who just expressed a bad joke, an ugly joke, and I didn't even talk. And then somebody started to talk about a bad joke. But then I just entered this room, and then this person said, I can't talk about that because Wolfgang is there. Oh, I was so happy. We're salt, right? We're not sand in the engine, but we're salt. If you are in your class, and you are a child of God, you have something in you which has an effect around you. It's not an aura. It's not a holy grail something. No, it's salt. We all shall learn that. Share Christ when you're talking to somebody. Not a big message, but sometimes only a small sentence. Probably you're discussing a certain subject and you can say, well, I see that because of this. Because I believe, I'm a believer. And this is also giving light. It's like a small part of salt, grace.
Gnade darreichen. Das sollen wir auch in den Versammlungen lernen, üben, gell? Auch unter uns.
Ja. Exercise yourself, like it is in Ephesians 4, verse 29. Let no evil word, no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. No corrupt word. But what is good for necessary edification. Amen. That it may impart grace to the hearers. It's so nice. When we learn to impart grace. What is very important after such a conference? What is it about to go back to our localities? Probably you're going back to a place where you are alone or not so many saints around you. And it's good, like Paul says here in Colossians. As he says, chapter 4, verse 2, saying, continue earnestly in prayer. We all can pray. We should exercise that. Like Paul says and expresses it from Epaphras, it is a struggle. We fight for one another. Our prayer is directed to our accomplishment. How does he say here? That you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. He's not praying because there is a problem in Colossae. He's not struggling because of a problem, a big attack. No, that they would stand. That we would stand in all will of God. That we would be complete and perfect. Oh. Probably somebody doesn't have a big problem, but we still pray for him or her. We pray for one another. It is such a wonderful aspect of the church life. That was one of the first things I realized when I came back, came into the church life. It's not only a prayer meetings time. No, no, no. Two, three, they have just a fellowship. And talking about somebody, and then they pray for this one. In my first young people's conference, out of the life, there was this attitude, let's pray. And it didn't change a lot in these days, and it should even progress. The church needs the prayer. How did the church life start in Acts? With a prayer meeting. They came together in a place somewhere with Mary and the other women. They just prayed until Pentecost came. Learn to pray. Praying alone is one aspect, and it's very important, but it's also important to pray together. What do you think? If from one church only one third comes together of all the saints, what do you think? Is it as effective as if the whole church comes together? All those who can liberate themselves? So I really want to tell you, we have to have such markers, such a plan. I know Tuesday evening there is prayer meeting. I keep that evening free. I want to come together with the saints. I want to pray with the saints. I don't just want to sit together with 8, 9 other brothers. Because the others think they don't need that. Prayer meeting is not a matter of do you need it or not, or but have you seen something? Are you somebody like Issachar who has seen this lovely land and now he is ready to go to the prayer meeting? I want to carry that burden with the others. Prayer is a service. There's a wonderful book at our shelves talking about the prayer service of the prayer ministry of the church. It's a very important exercise. It opens us again and again the view for the complete work. We have to cooperate with this matter. Sometimes we don't know what to pray about. Yes, but in Romans 8 we read verse 26, it says, likewise the Spirit also helps in our weakness. Yes. Always towards the prayer meeting, our weaknesses are so clear. Look, the Lord Jesus in Gethsemane. Can't you even stay awake 1 hour and pray with me? Then they fell asleep again. Pray and being awakened goes together. If we pray, it is a sign of being awakened. Come to the Lord. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we thought, as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. With groanings which cannot be uttered. Sometimes you cannot utter it, but let you being pushed by the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Yes, I don't want to talk too long time. It's good to have some more time together. Let us share together also from this conference. Praise the Lord. I want to